Hi, this is Chris Sorensen. Welcome to Brookville Road Community Church Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to check out our website at brookvilleroad.cc for all the latest information about what's going on at Community Church. I hope the following message inspires you to take your next step in becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Enjoy. Again, good morning. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors on staff. And if you would, open your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to get there in a moment. And isn't that exciting? We get to open up God's Word together. I guess I'm the preacher and I got to love that kind of thing, but I enjoy the fact that we get to open up the Word and study together. So just as some information that's coming up, next week, we're going to jump right back into Luke where we left off. And so that's Luke chapter 3. And if you want to read ahead, is verses 23 through 38. And as you're reading Luke 3, 23 through 38, you can say, how is there going to be a sermon on this? We'll see. All right? So Luke 3, 23 through 38. And then next Sunday night, February 4th at 7 p.m., I'm coming back here in the evening and I'm going to do an introduction on the book of Luke. I know we've been here for a couple months in the book of Luke and it's an odd time to do that, but I think you'd be encouraged if you have the opportunity to be here next Sunday night to learn a little bit more about Luke and gain some appreciation of what it is that we're going to be studying as we go throughout that entire book. But today what we're doing, we're going to wrap up this series deeper. And we're asking ourselves, how do we grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord? How do we get stronger in our faith? Well, that means we're going to need to grow deeper in our discipleship, in knowing God and having Him transform our lives. And so if we're going to grow deeper as a disciple, what does it then mean to be wholehearted? We would have to look at the life of Jesus, because a disciple is somebody who walks in the steps of Jesus Christ. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we note in the Bible that his life was all about relationships. He had three primary relationships: his relationship with God, his relationship with his disciples, and then his relationship with the world, those in the world who didn't know God yet. And so if we're going to grow to be like Christ, then those relationships should be primary in our life, that we should love God and we should love the church and love the world. And the strength of those relationships will be in direct correlation to the amount of quality time that you invest in those. And so the first week we talked about this time with God, our God time. And then last week we talked about time with each other, time with other disciples. That's group time. And today what we're going to talk about is go time. Go time. Go time is time spent on mission locally and globally. And when we look at the life of Christ, this is an easy one to find, because Jesus was always on mission. He was always doing the work of the Father and letting the world around him know that they could have a restored relationship with God. He was giving the good news. He was giving the gospel. It's Jesus' desire that the gospel go forward, that every tribe, tongue, and nation would understand this good news, that they can have a relationship once again with God, their creator, their maker, through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for their sins and then rose from the dead. He's alive today. He ascended into heaven, and one day he's returning. Maranatha, come back, Lord Jesus. We need the Lord, but until he returns, he wants his good news to go forward. This is so much a passion of his that after he rose from the dead, he spent 40 days talking to his disciples and telling them about what was next, about how important the kingdom of God is. This is where we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says this: he presented himself alive to them, his disciples, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And that's interesting, because Jesus started his ministry by preaching and speaking about the kingdom of God. And he was giving the same kind of news that John the Baptist was giving: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so now, after he rose from the dead and is about to ascend into heaven, he's still preaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the sovereign activity of God to bring people back into a right relationship with himself. And so as he's talking about the kingdom and the difference that it's going to make in the world, his disciples look at him and they say to Jesus, "Jesus, are you now Are you going to restore your kingdom? Jesus, what are you going to do? And in that moment, Jesus gives them the plan. Verse 8, but you will receive power. We didn't ask about us, Jesus. What are you doing, Jesus? Are you going to restore the kingdom? Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And from that moment, from Acts 1:8 to this day, that mission has been lived out generation to generation to generation until it reached us here in this generation. And now we step up to the plate and we are carrying out the redemptive plan of God to restore people back to himself. We're not just reading about history. We have been invited into his story. It's his story. And what he wants to have happen in this world as he redeems, reclaims his own. And we are modern day disciples. We are modern day witnesses of this risen Lord. And sharing that good news is not just the job of pastors or of missionaries. It's everybody's job. All of us have been called. Jesus, in this moment, he's speaking to 120 ordinary, average, everyday people. And he said to them, you will be my witnesses. He didn't say, you will do witnessing. You will be my witnesses. We've said before, being a follower of Jesus Christ, it isn't about me living for Jesus, it's Jesus living his life in and through me. So witnessing isn't just something that I do for him in my own effort, my own energy. Witnessing is who I am. I am a witness of this risen Lord. And every single believer, every single Christian is a witness. So the question is not, do you want to be a witness? The question is, what kind of witness will you be? Because you'll be a witness, either a good witness or not so good. Every single person who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is a witness, which leads us to the question, have you received Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you like Jesus. Like if you think he's got some good teaching. I'm not asking you if maybe you would like to add Jesus to your life, maybe on a side and compartmentalize yourself, maybe to bump up your goodness a little bit. I'm not asking you, have you grown up in the church? Do you like the church? Do you go to church? Did your parents go to church? I'm not asking you if you're an American and consider yourself a Christian. I'm asking you if at some point in your life you have received Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Has there been a moment where you have just surrendered your life to him and said, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and I receive you as my Lord. I'm no longer Lord of my life. You're Lord of my life. And I'm going to let you lead and I'm going to love you through an obedient life. If that has happened, my friend, then you are a witness, which means when you witness, you don't have to have every theological question answered. One thing you do need to know is, once I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, I was in the dark, but now I see the light. I see Christ. He has redeemed me. Has that happened in your life? At that point, it becomes a testimony of God's goodness and his redemption and regenerating work on the inside of your heart to take you from a place of darkness and death and bring the light and life of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Think about what a witness is. Think. Think about in the courtroom, right? Here's a witness. When the witness is called, like to come up and give a testimony, the witness is called just to simply talk about what they have seen and what they've heard. The witness isn't the lawyer. The witness isn't the lawyer trying to convince people and argue them into the kingdom. The witness isn't the judge. The witness is the person who's been called upon to give accurate testimony. The judge of all the earth calling upon his witnesses to bear testimony to the living Christ. That becomes our task to bear witness, to give our testimony. And giving a testimony, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. Again, you don't need to have all the theological questions answered and know everything. And you just make sure that you've got everything right before you witness. It's really simple. I'm going to give you an outline in a second. But if you were here about a month ago, we witnessed all those baptisms and people stood up. They gave their testimony. About a minute and a half blessed our hearts. And by the way, the next baptism service, if God is tugging on your heart in obedience to be baptized, to go public with your faith, our next baptism is going to be Easter morning. Yeah, what a day. So if that's you, you be faithful. Take the next step. Go to the website. Find next steps. Fill that form out. Let us know you're interested. Okay, and then we'll walk you through this process. Easter's early this year, March 31st. Now, here's the testimony for all of us. If you're a Christian, what do I say? What do I do? Real simple. Before I met Jesus, then you fill that in. I met Jesus when and since I met Jesus. Before I met Jesus, I met Jesus when and since I met Jesus. And it can be quick. It doesn't have to be long. Before I met Jesus, my life was a wreck. I was making a mess of my life. And in my life, everything felt dark and oppressive, and I felt like I was in the bottom of a pit. I met Jesus when he found me at the bottom of that pit and began to soften my heart for him. And since I met Jesus, my life hasn't been perfect, but I've been forgiven, and all my love is due him. He has transformed me. This is our testimony. So who do we witness to? Who do we share our testimony with? Anyone? Everyone? Everywhere? Like when Jesus is talking to his disciples there, he didn't talk about, different places that you would do it in order. He didn't say, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. No, if you look at the text, it's both and. You are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why we do mission here and there. That's why we do mission right around us and overseas, because it's the same mission. It's the same gospel. It's the same activity, and it's done at the same time. And we're all on mission, every single one of us. And you can do this relationally right where you work, right where you live. You have an opportunity to be a witness in your neighborhood, with your family. And I know that as we talk about this kind of thing, you might be tempted to think, well, I can't do this. I'm not equipped. I don't have the tools. I don't have the ability. Is there a class? I don't have a class. It's not as if the 120 ordinary people there listening to Jesus and he says, you're going to be my witnesses. And somebody's like, Jesus, I'm going to need a class. Okay, for 40 days, we're going to have a class. You're going to learn and then you're not going to do anything. What did Jesus say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that word power in the Greek is the word dynamin. Dynamin. You are going to receive dynamin power. It means he has given us all of the ability, all of the capability, all of the capacity that we are going to need in order to accomplish what he is calling us to do. God has given you dynamite power through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to accomplish global mission. That's how this has happened. That's how this has passed on from generation to generation to generation. It wasn't a bunch of classes of people figuring out how they can be witnesses. They already are witnesses. And with the living God on the inside of them, they are then empowered to go out into the world and make a difference, pointing people to the living God through his son, Jesus Christ. They can have salvation. This is the part of the reason the Holy Spirit has been given to us, so that we could reach out to a hurting world that is in darkness with this beautiful gospel message that their lives can be redeemed and they can be transformed from the inside out. And that comes through not our own power, but a power that comes from the Spirit of the living Christ on the inside of us. So the plan of Jesus has always been to use us. So the disciples are saying, hey, Jesus, what's the plan? And Jesus says, you're the plan. And I'm going to live my life in and through you. That's the way this works. The Apostle Paul picked up on this when he says this in Romans chapter 10. You can turn to the right just a little bit there. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Paul writes this, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? So Paul says, how will they begin to hear about him? And the answer is us, people. And again, the Christian life, it's not you and me just simply living for Jesus and striving really hard in our own strength. The Christian life is Christ in us, the hope of glory, living his life in and through us, Christ in us. And so as a disciple of Jesus Christ, if we are going to look like him, then we need to be busy about the things that he was doing. And what was Jesus doing? He was on mission. He was on mission. Go ahead and turn back to the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 12, about 42 times in the book of John, John says that Jesus was sent by God, sent from God. Meaning, if you're sent from God, he's on mission. This is why Jesus came. He is on a mission. And what was Jesus sent to do? I believe you can boil it down to one thing. Jesus was sent to bring light. He was sent to bring light to people who are in darkness. Look at chapter 12, verse 45 of John. And whoever sees me, Jesus says, whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, when scripture talks about light, it really has in mind here the knowledge of God, to bring knowledge. Because left to ourselves, we wouldn't understand truly who God is. I mean, we can get some ideas of God, like again in the book of Romans, like we can look out into creation and we get an idea, okay, there's a maker, that didn't just happen. I understand that there is a God of this universe, somebody who's powerful, but we really wouldn't know about his character. We would just be left to ourselves. We'd be guessing in the dark, literally, and we would make up all these ideas on what we think God should be. And there's all kinds of religions that come up with all kinds of myths and they try to define what God might be like. And so God has designed it so that he would move in our direction so that we can know him. And it has to do with light. He sent us Christ, the light of life, to reveal the Father to us. I mean, think about it, like just in a broad macro view. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but just think about it, right? God makes this universe. Only a God could do that. And as he looks out over the universe, the earth is formless and void and darkness. Darkness covered the earth. And the very first words that we have recorded of God speaking are him saying, let there be light. And there was light. That was very appropriate. There was light, and that light was a physical light. Like there is now light that can be seen. And then it began to move into spiritual light. He makes Adam and he makes Eve. And now they are spiritually enlightened by the presence of God. They're walking with God in the cool of the day in the garden, and they have fellowship with God. But all of that began to change when Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God and to go their own way, and they ate the fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And in that moment, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, darkness entered with it. There was now a spiritual darkness over each and every human being. And they're separated from God. But God, in his love and his mercy, was not content to let that darkness remain or even death remain as the curse over mankind.
And so God, in his benevolent love, would begin working through history and making his way to man once again to bring the knowledge of who God is and to restore a relationship with him. So in time, he would send his son, Jesus Christ. And what do we find in the book of John? In the beginning was the Word. And that Word is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And nothing was made that was not made through him. And then in verse 4 it says, in him, in Jesus, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. Light had dawned once again. God himself moving to his creation so that they might know him, so that they might have a restored relationship with him. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I, we're one. I only speak that which I hear from him. I'm obedient to him. I have come from heaven. This is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus was on mission to bring light to people who were stumbling around in the darkness and could not and would not be able to find their way to the Father. That's his mission. And you might be tempted to think, great, I'm glad he did that. That was Jesus's mission. I'm off the hook. Not so quick. Move forward in John. Go to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, beginning there, we find the high priestly prayer. Jesus is about to be betrayed. He's going to get arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be taken to a cross. He's going to be nailed to that cross. He is going to bleed and he is going to die on the cross. And he does so to be the propitiation, the one who would be able to bring us back to the Father to pay for all of our sin, all of the wrath of sin placed upon him, imputed to him. And then for those who believe in his shed blood, receiving him as Lord, they're imputed with his righteousness. They're given his righteousness. He would die on that cross, making the payment for us, and then he would rise from the dead with glorious light on the third day. That's all about to happen. And in this moment, we get a snapshot. We get this recording of what he says in his prayer, and it's powerful. He's speaking to God. Jesus says this, as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And again, you might be tempted to think, well, that them are the disciples. That them are all those who are gathered in the upper room. Them is not me, them. Not so quick. Jesus knew you would think that. This ain't on me. Might be on them, not on me. Verse 20. Jesus says, don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Later in John 20, we read this. John 20, 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. I'm sending you. He is the light of the world. He has said it over and over in John 9:5. He says, I am the light of the world. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me shall not walk in darkness. Jesus, the light of the world. And we think, okay, great. He's the light of the world. But it doesn't stop there. Look at Matthew chapter 5. I know we're turning a lot of pages. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says this, speaking of the kingdom, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the light of the world. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus says he's the light of the world. He is. But where does he now live? That's right. In you. The light of the world living in you. Again, the Christian life is not us living for Jesus, but allowing Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, to live his life in and through us, the light of the world. And Jesus desires that we would be on mission because that's what he's about. And if he's living in us, then we need to move in that direction to all answer the call to be light to the world, light to those around us. And that means we've got to be on mission to the world. And I know it feels good to come in here. I know it feels good to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is really a safe place for us to be. We all kind of hold to the same kind of belief and understanding, but we realize that when we go out into the world, it doesn't feel so safe. You begin to go to other nations, and there's persecution, and there are Christians that are dying at this very moment. And we realize that it would be nice just to kind of, turn our head and not pay attention to that. Or maybe take our light and put it under a bushel and let it hide away. But we're not called to that kind of thing. You and I are called to carry this light. Because that's what Jesus was doing. It's not as if God in heaven, after darkness and death descends upon mankind, stays far off and says, well, good luck. Good luck getting to me. He doesn't do that. Instead, he begins to move in our direction. He sends his Son, God incarnate, the light of the world, into the darkness. And he comes into the darkness because we're just groping and trying to find our way to God. And so when he finds us, when he found you, when he redeemed you, he filled you with his Spirit, and now he wants his light to shine through your life. You're sent. You're on mission. God invited you to this, to shine his light to others. See, God invited you into a relationship with him because he loves you. Jesus loves you, and we love that he loves us. We make songs for it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, and he loves you. But do you realize that Jesus loves you so that he can love others through you? Do you know why you work where you work? Because Christ has called you to that mission field because he loves your coworkers. Do you know why you're in the family that you're in? Because he loves your family. And he has called you to himself because he loves you, not to keep that love to yourself in a cul-de-sac of your heart, but to let it flow. To let his love shine through you, through your life, onto others. It is because of God's love that he has chosen you. Well, how do we do this? How do we begin to then take this love of Christ out into the world around us? One more section of scripture. Here we go. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in a moment, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 4. But 2 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Through us, the fragrance of Christ is spread everywhere. What would happen if we leave this place, we go to our jobs tomorrow, we go wherever the Lord takes us, and we would just realize we are carrying the fragrance of Christ? All the different jobs represented in this room, all of the different schools represented in this room, all the different neighborhoods, all the different families, if we would begin to realize I have Christ in my heart and in my life, and I am carrying the fragrance of Christ with me right into that workplace, what then begins to happen? Again, it's not us working for God. It is him working through us. Yes, we partner with him. It's not just simply we just sit back, we don't do anything. We begin to allow him to work through us. And if you and I ever come to this place where there's a bit of activity that is actually happening and lives are being transformed and mission is happening, that's not because of us. That's not so we can pat ourselves on our back and think, wow, I'm just a really great person. No, all of that is for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the way that all of this begins to happen and flow out of your life and the light of Christ being seen is a direct result of your intimate time of worship and relationship with Jesus Christ, which takes us all the way back to God time. And as we are spending time with God and we're in his presence and we're reading his word and we're praying to him, we're allowing him to shape our lives, to draw us into holiness, to sanctify us, to purify us, to grow in our relationship so that we begin to look more and more like him, and we start carrying the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. And we take that love that he's poured into our hearts because we've spent time with the master, and we come in here and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ with the love of God. They're just spills out of my heart, and I just want to love you with the love that has been poured into my heart. And it's not just so that we'd have that right here in this room, but we would be encouraged by other brothers and sisters in Christ and so overflowing with the love of God that we take it outside of these walls, and everywhere we go, we carry the fragrance of the Master. You carry the fragrance and the knowledge of Christ everywhere you set your foot. For we are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We're the aroma of Christ. I don't know if you've ever gone to like a greasy spoon restaurant and you walk out of the restaurant and then you smell like the restaurant. My wife, Tammy, when we lived in Western Kansas and we're going to Bible college, she worked at a place called the Willy Burger. And every night that she worked at the Willy Burger and came home, she smelled like the Willy Burger. Well, we, spending time with Christ, carry the aroma of Christ. I guarantee you it's not the Willy Burger, right? Maybe metaphorically, the Rose of Sharon or the Lily of the Valley. But by spending time with our Lord, it begins to transform what's happening. I hope that's happened for some of you throughout the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we begin to carry the aroma of Christ everywhere we go. Verse 16, to one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who's sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. And there's a lot of peddlers of God's word. There are a lot of people who are phony and insincere and con men. They're just pretending. But we're not like that. We're not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, hold on to that word sincerity, as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So this word, as men of sincerity, that word sincerity, very interesting Greek word, it comes out of the agora. So in that region, the agora is the marketplace. So in the marketplace is the place where people come to buy and sell. And there in the marketplace, many times you would be able to find people who were selling pottery. They would sell jars and pots. And some of those individuals, if they weren't very skilled at making pottery, they would overheat the oven and heat the pot way too hot, and then that pot would crack. And rather than discarding the pot, what they would do is they would take some wax and they would begin to fill in that crack and get it all smooth. When the wax had dried and it was nice and smooth, they would paint over the outside of that pot and then take it to the market as if nothing happened. And the average shopper coming by would look at that pot, see that it looked pretty good, nicely painted, and they would purchase it. But a skilled shopper would take that pot and they would hold it up to the light to see if there was a crack. The word sincere literally means judged in the light of the sun. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. Christ, the light of the world, living in us so that we might shine a sincere light to the world. We are always on mission. And you cannot live a separate life on Monday than you do Sunday. All of us have been called to be wholehearted disciples who love God, who love the church, and love the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for finding us. Thank you that while we were yet sinners and separated from you, and many of us making a mess of our lives, you reached out, you found us, shining the light of Jesus Christ into our hearts. We thank you for all of the individuals around us who were able to shine your light, and we saw their witness. We heard them speak of you. And now, Father, calling us to yourselves, we're in the same place of gratefulness to know that you've called us your own and have filled us with your Spirit to empower us, not just simply so that we can go to heaven one day, but so that we might take this glorious light that you have poured into our hearts, this knowledge of who you are, and then to share it with those who are around us. Father, please shine your light through us. Use us. We pray that your kingdom would come, your glory would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that you would invite us into this and we would respond to that call and we would let you be seen through our lives, all of us, a witness of your great glory. It's for your sake and in your name, amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the area and are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us at one of our weekend worship services. For service times and information about BRCC, be sure to check out brookvilleroad.cc. God bless you.